So God says, I want you as a person to go through a certain process here called renewal. And what will happen is that that will put you in a position where I will now be able to pour out into your life, right, the fresh things that I want to do. Not only that, all right, if you put up the amplified version of Luke chapter 5, where it talks about the wine will ferment and it will cause there to be an expansion. What he's saying is that, listen, when you pour new wine, it says this, otherwise the new fermenting wine will expand. You see, new wine will cause that you have to expand. You cannot be thinking the way you are thinking. Are you following what I'm saying here? For there to be something, it has to be an expansion in your mind there. You must be able to, you know, accommodate. It's an expansion. And that's why you have to ask God, lead me, all right? Send in instructors into my life. Lead me. Let people come in that will help in expanding the real practical things that has to do with that kind of expansion of my soul so that I will be prepared. That will expose me, all right, to things at that particular level. You've got to expand your thinking. I was telling my wife, I told this morning, I said, listen, this thing I'm telling you about expansion, let me give an example here. I said, we can be praying in church, you know, God, send people to us. I said, okay. God says, you are going to expand. Now, you start expanding, all right? And, you know, you want old wine. New wine means the new people don't look like you, don't behave like you. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are not like you. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, you've exhausted all people that are like you. Now, the people that are not like you are now coming in. I said, so now imagine this. Two gay guys coming to church, all their hands, visible now, not hidden gay now. They come in like this, hey, how are you? And they both walk into service. Can you imagine this? Walking, you all freeze. We're having service now. They just come in and just hold themselves and sit down here. And then they're listening, taking notes. Ha! You'll be, okay, notes. Notes, okay. These people taking notes. Then after the service, they get up. Pastor, how are you? Listen, we just saw some things inside the Word of God as you were teaching. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You'll be saying, ah, they are supposed to hate Jesus. No, we love Jesus. We love him deeply. Listen, and you are hearing revelation as they are sharing it. Say, what was going on here? All right. Then after some time, they said, listen, we just heard your announcement on small groups. We want to join. So who will join ourselves? Send leaders to start running in every direction. Say, I'm with self. Take off. Are you from there? He said, then let's have our own cell if they won't join. He said, yourself. Yourself. All right. I said, will you be able to accommodate it? Now you're taking those people. I guarantee you some people will never come to this church again. Say, Kai, God forbid. Eh? The spirit will just be spread. No, I'm not coming there again. God bless. Are you from there? What do you do? Ah, you're quiet now. All right? What do you do? I mean, I tell them, four ladies just come in from choop, 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 and sit down, expose everything, shop, right in front. I'm telling you, before I get to, emails will have come. Pastor, I don't think this is consistent with our culture in Covenant Christian Center. Ladies of this nature sitting in front, you know we are on television. We cannot be projecting a terrible brand of what you, by the time you finish, and all of that. God says, but those are the only people left in society, so what will you do? Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you on something? That when they start dancing, you know this one is straight from the club last night. What do you do? Are you from there? It can cause what is happening to break. Do you get what I'm saying? Except there's an expansion. How do you get that kind of expansion? You leave the world where you are. Do you understand this? Go out and you interact with different types of people that you at first might not even be comfortable with. You like someone said, I was someone preaching, he said, look, even if you can't go to America, travel to Cotonou just to expand your mind. Are you following what I'm saying there? Choose something just to broaden your mind, to expand, all right, the way you think, to be able to handle things when they come, because things are different, all right, from the way you are. How do you handle it? What do you, how do you handle those kind of things? And when people refuse to change, and they refuse, and they say, look, this is how we are, all right, and refuse to change, then what do you do? Okay? So it's important that we begin, all right, to begin to renew, to begin to get into certain things there. Now, let me just read something here about the ego. When we talk about renew, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, all right, their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary, and they will not faint. Now, the eagle has the longest lifespan of its species. It can live up to 70 years. But to reach this age, the eagle must make a hard decision. In its 40s, its long and flexible talons can no longer grab a prey which serves as food. Its long and sharp beak becomes bent. Its old, aged, and heavy wings, due to their thick feathers, become stuck to its chest and make it difficult to fly. Then the eagle is left with only two options: die or go through a painful process of change that lasts 150 days. So when he says, mount up with eagles and those that wait upon the Lord, to understand what happens when you're waiting on the Lord. All right? It's a type of this. The process requires that the eagle fly to a mountain top and sit on its nest. There, the eagle knocks its beak against a rock until it plucks it out, first thing. So it does that to get rid of that particular beak. Then it waits for a new beak to grow back, and then it will pluck out its talons. Like claws there. And those ones grow back, then it starts plucking out all the old age feathers. After 5 months, the eagle takes its famous flight of rebirth and lives for 30 more years. So God is telling us here, he says, you want to wait? He said, there's anything I need to pluck out of your life while you're waiting on me. There are certain things that I've got to renew about it. All right, there are certain things. That's why I can tell you this. Anybody who is stiff can't succeed in this life. Once you are rigid about things, all right, once it doesn't, you know, correspond, you have to find a way of discerning that which is right, even though it's new, right? Once it doesn't correspond with what you know and you are told, okay? A person goes there, I've said this, has a mindset about marriage. Or it comes to the point like, hey, after some years, that mindset can no longer work. God says there are parts of this, your mindset, you have held for 40 years. Since you've been a child, you've got to pluck these things out. You've got to remove these particular things here. I've got to replace, all right, with a new, all right, understanding of these same things here. A more developed understanding of these principles that you have embraced in this particular way. Without it, every single thing around you, right, starts dying here. So we looked at this process here of renewal, and we started, and I'm just going to go over some things, all right, with the first one, which is renewing the kingdom there. I want to go back and say something about renewing this particular kingdom as the first step. Then the next one is renewing the altar of God. Renewing the bow of God. In other words, renewing, all right? And if you will make the adjustment, there is nothing God has shown you. There is no, all right, vision that you see ahead of you. If you will submit yourself to the daily process of making adjustments by new information that God gives to you about life, that you daily are making the adjustment, you are praying for wisdom, you are crying out for understanding, and that your inward man is being renewed day by day, every day, even though that word day there means the dawning of a new day, which means the revelation. Every time you see something, all right, that you don't know, something changes, okay, on the inside of you. You make the adjustment. Every step, you understand that this book, I must read it and find out the changes I've got to make in my life that will get me closer to where I'm going. If you will do that every day, baby step after baby step after baby step after baby step, all right, changing when you change the way you think, changing, you go to places, you see things, all right, you make the adjustment. If you will do that, you will always arrive. The reason why people fail is that they resist that particular kind of change there. They believe that if it doesn't sit right, all right, and people that resist doesn't, just look at people very well. You find they haven't built anything in their lives, or whatever they built are dying. Because it takes change there to be able to do it. Every day there, God is showing you something. You're making the adjustment, it shows you something. You make the adjustment, it shows you something. I went to preach to you, and I went to preach to Abuja. I learned something in you, I learned something in Abuja. I got there, I saw certain things there, I heard certain things, and I said, okay, I like this one here. I got there to Abuja, I saw things there. All right, you make adjustments there as you begin to push towards the fulfillment. But once you come out, you know, like, you know, I know everything, you know, and all of that, and you're trying to correct other people instead of learning. Do you get what I'm saying here? Which means that you just sit on that throne there of the know-it-all, and you are not. Then what begins to happen is the nakedness begins to show. So start making the adjustment. God says, I'm waiting. Once you start going on the path of making this adjustment, he said, listen, you are going to see the amount of powerful things that will begin to happen, all right, right in your life. Very, very powerful things, right, that will happen in your life. Knowledge there, right, that God wants to give to you to bring about the change. So the first one we said here, yeah, all right, is going to be built on this. That in 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 14. 1 Samuel 11. Then Samuel came to the people and said, come, let us go up to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. So the renewal of the kingdom. And what did he tell him? He said, and the people went to Gilgal and made Saul king, and they sacrificed. Now, if he says something is a sacrifice, it's a sacrifice. It's a painful thing to do. Sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. So the first thing it talks about is peace offerings before the Lord. The people offer that. Peace between themselves. And when God wants to move strongly in your life, he says, first of all, you have to have, before the next thing comes in, I want to have peace offerings here. Job, there must be peace in your heart towards your friends. Go and pray for your friends. Offer that peace offering. I know they criticized you. I know they said they caused more pain to your soul than even what was going said, but pray for your friends. It tells us that when something great is coming from heaven, men will speak evil of you. Men will cast your name, cast you out of their company, all that. He said, rejoice in that day. Your reward is great in heaven. He said, but I tell you something here. Love your enemies. Do good. He said, don't blow what is coming. Don't blow this thing up. He said, do good to them that hate you. He says, pray for them that despitefully use you. He says, do good. He's saying, offer priest offerings there. He said, if you see your enemy and he's naked, give him clothes. He said, I want peace offerings here. And in order for you to move from the old to get into the new, we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He says, I want you to reconcile. Get reconciled in your heart. I'm not talking about physical reconciliation, people. Get reconciled in your heart towards every person that you might have any animosity or pain cost you something in that past realm you're coming out of. He said, I want you to have goodwill towards them. That's it. I want you to speak well of them. I want to hear their names in your prayers, calling on me, all right, to do. I want that peace offerings there to come forth. He said, that's what I want. When God chastises a man, it's for two things. Is either envy, strife, which means he's not following peace with all men, or the second one is what we get into, always. And it says, let the lame foot, not instead of it being turned out of the way, let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men in your heart. So it says, take all these people that I want peace of. He said, I know that this might be painful. He said, I know the cuts might be deep. He said, but hear what I said in the book of Hebrews. I said that don't disobey this voice that speaks from heaven. that the last one that spoke in the days of Moses was on the earth when I spoke, that shook the earth. This one will shake the heavens and the earth. He said, don't disobey this voice. What was the voice he was talking about? He said, it is the blood of Jesus that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Don't disobey the voice of the blood of Jesus Christ. What's that blood saying? It's a blood that is crying mercy, forgive those people, and not vengeance like the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cried out of vengeance. They have hurt me. Vengeance must be served upon them. The blood of Jesus cries out, mercy must come into the lives of these people here. He said, I want to hear that call of mercy there. I want peace offerings coming out. I want you to make peace in your own heart. He says, don't come to the altar to put down any gift until you are at peace in your heart. He says, acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. Which means acquainting yourself with God means coming to a place of peace towards men. Where, listen, you are now realigned with God. It's like, it's not your own light that is going to shine. You are just reflecting the light of God inside your life. He said to get to that point, that's why he says, those who make peace, those shall be called the children of God. It tells us, once the salt has lost its saltness, it's good for nothing. It says, but to be cast out, trodden. I'm telling you this, if I didn't reconcile myself inside my heart to some of my friends that hurt me bad when I was in school, I would not be in ministry preaching today. All right? I mean, the court was very deep. God told me one day, he said, get up here. I will pray. He said, now I want you to direct. Don't just pray. Direct your prayers towards these people. Call them by name and pray specific blessings into their lives. And I will never forget that day, right? In Sports Center, University of Lagos. And I was praying that. And inside my heart there, I reconciled myself, which meant open to them. If I meet them today, and we talk about, don't have anything against them inside my heart there. But I remember, all right, I had to consciously, that's why he says you pass from death to life. Because he that hateth his brother walketh in darkness, and he says he doesn't know where he's going. And the hatred could have come as a result, not of what you did, but you didn't sponsor it, but they did something to you, and this is what Satan wants to bring you. So the first thing is peace offerings here. And in making peace inside your heart, I mean, before Jubilee was a time after Jubilee, new life comes into Israel, new life comes into economy, new life comes into their Greek and all of that. But that Jubilee, what was it about? Debt cancellation. So he says, I want you to cancel the debt. 50 years, you cancel everybody's debt. Cancel those emotional debts. Don't hold anything against. It has happened, cancel. He says, I want to bring something new. So Joseph, forget about what Potiphar's wife did to you here. Get reconciled inside your heart. All right? No vengeance here. Okay? You are not going to get to that level with that big blessing that I'm bringing your way, and you'll be petty, still thinking about something that happened. Are you following what I'm saying here? And using the power and influence to go there and start trying to destroy, all right, the people and all of that. He said, we're not going to do that because that is going to make, all right, nonsense of all of this. So he says, I want that reconciliation, I want peace. He said, it's a sacrifice. He said, I understand how painful this might be. All right, it is more difficult, all right, than giving money. I understand that is your heart that you are giving. That he says, I know people that are giving things, but they are not at peace. He says, they say, eat and drink, but their heart is not with you. Their mouth, words are smoother than oil. He says, but drawn swords are in their heart. He said, I don't want that. I want when you shake a person's hand, it's not just a fake shake, all right? It's the right hand of fellowship. I want you to be in a position of peace with every human being that is on the earth, regardless of what they have done to you. He said, get into that place, and you are now aligned with me, and we can get ourselves in a position that. So they told Saul, go and do that. So people were offering peace offerings, all right? Which means inside your heart. It says, a gift given, all right, in secret, will pacify anger. Okay? Pray about it. If God tells, send something, person, don't let the person know. Send something, says, it heals you of anger. It pacifies anger. And in you praying about this, you will get expanded. Your heart will expand. You will even look at things, all right, while you are doing that, and you will have grown beyond what made you offend. In fact, what will happen, I mean, I've said this before. Somebody said to me one day, was telling somebody, he said, and I didn't know the person was like that. He said, this was years ago in this church, he said, I admire pastors' internal inner strength. He said, because in the intense provocation of what we are doing, he doesn't move. And I told the person, I said, remember I was in school. Where did I get it from? Exercise in school. I said, you remember that story? He said, yes. I said, going through that kind of thing, you develop your capacity there. So listen, things that will trip you, at one level, you are calm. You can handle it. They put you in a place, there's quietness, there's assurance. Everybody around you is calm. You are confident there. You are impressed. In fact, you yourself, you are impressed by your response. Are you following what I'm saying here? Say, God, you tried in me. Before. Now, how does that happen? By you doing all of this, and God works something, all right, on the inside of you, so that you can handle things, so you don't scatter things. So, you know, things don't happen, and it is with your own hand, you scatter things there. All right? So he says, listen, I want that peace there. That it tells us when the salt has lost its saltness, it's good for nothing. You take it, cast it out, Detroit said, have salt in yourselves and be at peace one with another. The meaning of having salt in your life is being at peace, all right, with people. I mean, I meet people that they're supposed friends, and they're not at peace with them. When they start talking, you will know that this person has bottled up anger towards this person. You will know they have resentments. The sword is there, all right? You know it's there, okay? Even if they tell them to come and preach, once they start preaching, they throw the jabs at the people. You will know that they have not entered into the place of peace there. So that's the first thing there. And it's an exercise, all right? You pray for the peace, it's an exercise there. You offer peace of it, it's an exercise there, okay? And that's the first thing. And then after that, then we can go to the next thing there. After offering peace there, following peace with all men. And that is in 2 Chronicles 15:8. And it's talking about renewing the altars. And I will close with this one today. Renewing the altars. And I want to speak something about the altars here. All right? Put up 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 8, please. All right? Renewing the altars. And talked about Asa when he heard these words and all of that, the idols, the land of Benjamin, and out of cities he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord, all right, that was before the porch. So God says, I want that altar. Altar is the place where you place sacrifices, gifts, and all of that. But he says, I want that renewed. Now, what is the altar there? Okay, it's a place where you enter into covenant with God. It's a place where God gives to you, that's a system through which you worship God. God shows you something. He will show Abraham will build an altar unto God there. He will show him, he will build an altar unto God. Now, what's this altar? Go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. It speaks about this altar in the New Testament. It says, Hebrews 13, more than 8. You go down a little bit. I think it's 12. All right. Hebrews 13, 10. It says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. So we have this altar. Now, what do we put on this altar? It goes on and tells us, verse 11, it says, for the bodies of the beasts whose blood was brought into the sanctuary by the high priest without sin, born without the camp, let us therefore just also that he might sanctify with his people suffered without the gates, let us therefore go unto him without the camp bearing his reproach, for we have no continuity here, we seek one to come. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. Then next verse. And this is what I want to get to. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So on this altar here, two things. The sacrifice of praise. That's praising God, even though things are not yet visible. Rejoicing and giving thanks to his name. And then the second, it says, to do good and to communicate, forget not. So do good. That word do good means kindness and to share what you have with, all right, your material substance in order to meet the needs of people around you, forget not. The second thing God wants is a commitment to help the poor and the needy. This is what this altar there speaks of in the New Testament. Praising God continually and then helping. Second time in scripture, you can read Psalm 94, you can read Job 34, 21, I believe. Second, two things. When God comes to chastise a man, it means I can hear the cry of the poor and needy around you, and you are not doing anything about it. That's why God chastises kings. That's why he chastises men. So it's about helping the poor. It's about understanding that, you know, this is the altar here. God blesses me more materially. This is the altar. This is how I'm going to spend it. I'm going to help people, all right, that are in need. I will help, you know, that's your orientation.
Thank you for listening.